White, J.E. White, Emma. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. January 31st, 1900. Dear children Edson and Emma, I have just received a few lines from Brother Colcord, requesting me, if possible, to go to Maitland and stay over Sabbath and Sunday. They say that 80 were out to the tent meeting last evening, and that Sister Scobie and her two daughters, who are grown-up women, have decided to keep the Sabbath. This is causing much joy. Our sisters in Maitland have been doing Bible work in this family for some time. This lady and her husband stood directly in front of me 1 week ago last Sabbath as I addressed the people at the baptism. I bore a decided message, saying, "There is a right side and a wrong side. Whose side are you on? The side of the great apostate, who was expelled from heaven because he refused to be loyal to God? Or the side of Jesus Christ? There are only two classes in our world. Christ declared, 'If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.' John 15, verse 10. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." John 14, verse 21, 23. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will stand under the banner of Prince Emmanuel? On this occasion, the Lord gave me special words to speak. Sister Scobie said to Sister Wilson, "This is the very thing I have been praying for." I reached my hands up to heaven and cried unto the Lord, "Send me light, send me truth." The churches are dying for want of spiritual food. "Well," said Sister Wilson, "I have come to open to you the Word of God and to tell you what is truth. It is written in the Word." The tears rolled down Sister Scobie's face as she said, "I am so thankful you have come." This family is a large one and is widely connected. We are hoping that the movement Sister Scobie and her daughters have made will draw others into the truth. Last Sabbath, 7 were baptized. Next Sunday, 8 more are to be baptized. But the work moves slowly. I am urging Elder Colcord to sit down beside the Wesleyan minister and in childlike simplicity tell him of the love he has for his soul. This minister seems to be an exception to most ministers. He tells his congregation that there is no authority in the Bible to substantiate Sunday as the Sabbath. How he manages to get round the fact of its observance is a question. The Scriptures, it is written, is the gospel we are to preach. No flaming sword is placed before this tree of life. All who will may partake of it. There is no power that can prohibit any soul from taking of the fruit of this tree of life. All may eat and live forever. I am so glad that another baptism is to take place so soon. May these dear souls, as they follow the example of Christ, rise to walk in newness of life. May they become witnesses to the world, a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. May they, as they accept the truth individually, be animated by the same Spirit, speaking the truth in love under the influence of the Holy Spirit. February 11, 1900, Maitland. On Friday after dinner, I left Currumbong for Maitland, accompanied by Sarah and Sister Rice, who has come from Rarotonga to place her daughter, a girl of 18 years, in our school, that she may become fitted to help her parents in their work on the islands. We drove into the yard at the mission just as the sun was setting. All seemed glad to see us. We did not go to rest very early. We felt very anxious to learn as much as possible of the progress of the work. It is moving slowly, but additions are being made to the number keeping the Sabbath. Our ministers and Bible workers seem to be of good courage. On Sabbath morning, we felt drawn out to pray most earnestly that the Lord would make this day His memorial, very precious to those who should assemble to worship Him in Maitland, and give them encouragement. The Spirit of the Lord was in our morning service. I presented the words found in the 14th and 15th chapters of John regarding the obedience those must reveal who are sons and daughters of God. I looked earnestly for the faces of some who ought to have been present, for they are convicted of the truth. But to take their position on the side of truth seems to them a step of humiliation. Plain evidence has been set before them, but the cross looms up before them, and they dare not venture. If they had less anxiety and more faith, it would be for their present and eternal good. The Lord enabled me to present the truth as a living reality. I reminded those present that the day of the Lord is creeping upon us as a thief in the night. Sudden destruction cometh upon those who are unready, and they shall not escape. I set before them the duty of obeying God and warned them not to excuse their disobedience because obedience involved self-denial. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be which find it. Matthew 7, verse 13-14. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Verses 15 to 20. Our meeting passed off well. The Lord was with us. In the afternoon, a poor drunkard came to the tent and listened to the service, but did not enter till the meeting closed. He wanted to see one of our ministers. Brethren Colcord and Hickox had a talk with him. He said that he was tired of his wicked course, and he wanted them to ask the Lord to have mercy upon him. This they did, and he seemed greatly relieved. It has been decided to postpone the baptism until all who have decided to be baptized can be present. Just at present, some are sick, and some are not at home. I agreed to remain in Maitland till Monday morning and speak in the tent Sunday evening. This pleased all very much. Sunday morning after prayers, I talked with our ministering brethren and the Bible workers, giving them the light God had given me in regard to the medical missionary work. Sister Rice was present. I think I talked for fully 2 hours. The Lord helped me to present the principles of our work, showing that the gospel ministry is God's special working agency, embracing, as in the days of Christ, all genuine missionary work, which is to be enjoined on every church. All church members are to act in living lines as laborers together with God. The gospel message for this time is comprised in the third angel's message, which embraces the messages of the first and second angels, and which is to be proclaimed everywhere, for it is present truth. This message is to go forth with great distinctness and power. It is not to be clouded by human theories and sophistries. The Sabbath is to be proclaimed as God's memorial of creation. The third angel's message is based on the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Satan will set every possible device in operation to seek to get up some scheme whereby he can divert minds from this important, testing message to an inferior work, which in its operations will be carried on extravagantly. This work will absorb money which God designs should be used to advance His work in no uncertain, haphazard manner. To establish church interests which shall consolidate in unity and gain in strength to carry the last great work of the gospel message to all parts of the world. God is to stand out in the message for these last days as glorified by His believing people, who must have less perplexing anxiety and more faith. The temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the Ark of His Testament. This Ark is a symbol of God's presence. It contains His holy law, given in Eden at the creation of the world, proclaimed on Mount Sinai, and written with the finger of God on two tables of stone. And there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake. Revelation 11, verse 19. This symbolizes the judgments that will fall upon those who have worked as transgressors of the laws of God's kingdom. The difference between those who have sincerely worshiped God and those who have opposed Him will be seen by men and angels. The obedient and the disobedient will stand out plainly and distinctly, each wearing the badge of the one they serve. The disobedient are written as commandment breakers, the obedient as commandment keepers, who wear the God-given seal. Those who have worshiped God only in name will be seen just as they are, and they will be treated in accordance with their works. Those who have served God in wholehearted obedience will receive the gift of eternal life. Obedience unto obedience is as far-reaching as eternity. On Sunday morning, we visited a family in whom we feel deeply interested. The mother, Sister Lamotte, is keeping the Sabbath. When Sister Wilson first visited her, she told her that the Lord had sent her an answer to her prayer. She had been searching the Word for light. She felt so anxious to understand the Word of the Lord. She is one of those represented to me as reaching out their hands in great soul desire, saying, "I want to understand the Word of God." We are not fed. We are starving for the bread of life. Her husband is deeply interested, and they both felt very glad to have us visit them. They thanked the Lord that they were so greatly favored. Mr. Lamotte cut for us a watermelon weighing about 25 pounds and gave me several pounds of delicious grapes. We were asked to pray with and for them. This we did, and the Lord seemed very near us in that humble dwelling. We then returned to the mission, and I had a profitable conversation with Elder Colcord in regard to the work to be done in Maitland. It was now time for the evening meeting. The Lord was pleased to give us a larger audience than usual. I took my text from the 58th chapter of Isaiah and showed that our work for this time is in accordance with the truths brought out in that chapter. After I had finished speaking, Elder Colcord inquired how many wanted to be saved as children of God. The whole congregation rose. After a few remarks, he asked those who had been enlightened in regard to the truth to rise, and quite a number responded. We thank the Lord that they had the moral courage to do this.